Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation. I'm Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. And behind the scenes on the live blog, as always, we have Brian Caravu, Mr. Railbird Central himself. So big thanks, as always, to Brian and all our guests, including some very special guests from GreenBayPackerNation.com. First of all, I'm very impressed you got that domain at all, and they do great work there. JR and Brady are joining us on the live blog today, and joining us later tonight, legendary Packer safety.
I can't believe it.
Leroy Butler.
I'm extremely nervous
Leroy Butler.
I'm really nervous.
And ladies and gentlemen, you may notice that both myself and Corey have a certain attire this evening. They're called business suits, my friends. You know why? Because it's business time. All right, no more messing about. No more losing to 0-7 teams. No hats, no jerseys. We're all about business here at Cheesehead Nation.
But right now, we're going to kick things off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Amon Green.
You mean the all-time leading rusher for the Green Bay Packers?
We got Ryan Grant.
Picking up some yards, after contact, on the cutback, looking good.
We got James Jones.
Game of the year so far for Mr. Jones. Yes, he had a drop. Yes, he missed a block. Game of the year so far for young Mr. Jones.
And we got the bad. We got Jarrett Bush.
Jarrett, double move, Bush?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, worst game of the season by far.
Sean Slocum.
You know, I'll talk about this a little bit with our resident special teams expert, Mr. Brian Caravu, a little later in this segment. But I may want to take Sean Slocum off the bad list, and I think some people may be surprised by that.
No, don't do it.
I might have to do it.
No. We have the ugly, which Sean Slocum should be in this category, too. We got Mike McCarthy.
2 weeks in a row on the ugly there for Coach. Not good. It doesn't look good. But that's where we are. 2 weeks in a row, Mike McCarthy's team not prepared. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to put it. And I think, and this is probably ridiculous, and yeah, I know it is, but I think that big, you know, second play of the game, long touchdown to James Jones, kind of like put the Packers right where they shouldn't have been, as in, this is going to be a cakewalk, you know, we don't even need to show up. And I think you saw that kind of pervasive. The attitude.
Who's the ugliest of the ugly? Jarrett Bush, Darren College, or Sean Slocum?
Oh, Jarrett Bush. It's not even close. Yeah, it's Jarrett Bush.
I voted for him for you.
Why do you have Jarrett Bush on the field?
Jarrett Bush won. He's got 50%
right now. This whole notion that, okay, we've got Hawk in for Chiller at the nickel, but we're going to put we're going to debut the dime featuring one Mr. Jarrett Bush. Do people... Oh, my goodness. Corey Banky.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Whipping out the card. Yeah, you did. You meant to. You totally meant to.
Sorry, I meant
to. Leroy Butler card.
I got that signed this year. Sorry, I'm really nervous about it. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm really nervous.
I know. We've got a half hour until he's on.
I can't believe it.
It's all right. Let's talk some Packers.
Okay. We have to talk about the Packers?
Daunting though it is.
Because they're terrible.
They really are. And here's the thing. I was ready. As anyone who reads the blog knows, I was ready from McCarthy's head after the game. And I didn't post on Monday due to some personal business, but I was pretty ready on Monday too. But today I've calmed down a little bit. I've taken a step back. I've taken a deep breath, as I think the title of my blog post was. I've taken a deep breath. McCarthy's not going anywhere. But make no mistake, this Sunday is the season.
Really?
This is it. This is it. Win this game and everything's back on. Lose this game, season over. You heard it here.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now.
That's a bold statement.
It's not even bold. It's the truth. Yeah. No. Mathematically, they'll still be alive and a lot of ball game and blah, blah, blah. This Sunday is the season. I can't break it down anymore for you people. If you got to do more work than that, I'm sorry, but that's the essence of what we're facing this Sunday at Lambeau Field. So upset.
We lost to the worst team in the NFL.
But here's the thing.
Awesome.
Here's the thing. McCarthy.
Cheers.
if you have a Cheesehead TV mug.
Cheers.
Raise them. Salut. Here's the thing. McCarthy deserves to be fired. He won't be. but he deserves.
Yeah, well, what did Rob Domofsky say? Okay, Rob Domofsky came on the show last week, and we asked him this very question. We said, what's the likelihood of Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy going? And I have something to say about Ted Thompson. I'm kind of a Ted Thompson. I'm becoming a Ted Thompson supporter, and that's weird for me.
It's a really odd.
But it's an odd place to be.
It's an odd trajectory.
But there's a lot of talk. You know, we talked about the executive committee with Rob Domofsky last week. What role does the executive committee playing in the Packers right now? Which, you know, there's some drama there.
Absolutely.
But, you know, 15 million or 14 to 16 million. I don't know the exact number, but
it's around.
That's basically the Packers would have to eat that money
to fire
both of them right now.
Right.
Or even at the end of the season.
Absolutely. But hey, there's precedent for that. And there's precedent even for Thompson. I mean, you think about it. He signed Sherman to an extension and then canned him. I mean, literally less than 8 months later. So it's not unprecedented. And, but like I wrote on the blog, there's a long way to go until we get there. No one's going to get fired in the middle of the season.
Well, what happened? I mean, so you're saying if you lose to the Dallas Cowboys, the season's over?
It's over. It doesn't matter what happens. McCarthy, it doesn't matter.
I feel like
I don't think he's fired if he loses to the Dallas Cowboys, but the season is over if they lose to the Dallas Cowboys.
I have a prediction.
What's that?
I think that this season's going to go, like, the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers are just going to switch places because that's what always happens in Minnesota Vikings. And that could still happen this year.
The Packers are going to go on, like, an 8-game tear, and the Vikings are going to, like, lose, like, 6 of their next 8. Is that what you're telling me?
Sometimes all you have to do is let me rephrase that. Sometimes all you have to do is allow the Vikings to implode, and all will be fine.
Oh, if that's your game plan, I'm on board, man. I'm right there with you.
That's really all we have at this moment.
That's what's sad. It kind of is. But here's the thing. Okay, here's some reasons for optimism, albeit not necessarily heading into this weekend. But Tauscher on the line looked better. Yeah, he got hurt. But the line looked much better with Tauscher and Clifton in there. Now, Tauscher's out for 2 weeks, and Barber's going to go against Dallas. But, oh, dear. Corey's going to the comic book montage.
No, you're talking about the game.
Yeah,
I'm showing some games.
So Tauscher, they did look better, and then he got hurt. And Barber even held up through three quarters. He looked good, as he does all the time in the run game, and he even held up in pass pro. He allowed some edge rush, and that's fine. But, you know, Darren College on the other side, your boy, your favorite whipping boy.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you now, Corey. Many years now, I have defended Darren College.
That's true.
And I said last year, and this is the truth, that he was the best lineman on the team. And last year, he was. This year, without question.
Not Allen Barber?
No, not even close.
You don't think they compare to each other favorably or disfavorably?
At least Allen Barber gives you something in the run game. Like, College is so hit and miss at this point, you never know what's going to happen on any given play with a left guard position. So the talk this week is that T.J. Lang will be replacing either Darren College or Allen Barber.
T.J. Lang is now going to play left guard?
Like, where was that in training camp?
What?
Now, here's the thing.
That's hilarious. Okay, this is hilarious to me.
All right.
Okay?
Lay it on me.
In minicamp, we're talking about we're not going to play Darren College at left tackle, even though that's our backup.
Right.
In training camp, minicamp, preseason.
Nothing. No snaps.
So then we lose our left tackle, and all of a sudden, we got to play Darren College. But he's never played any of those positions. Ooh. He hasn't played the left tackle.
Well, not since last
year.
And
now.
In Tennessee, right?
Well,
but not this year. He hasn't done it this
year. Yeah, that's like going, okay, we're not gonna let the understudy get any rehearsal at all.
Right, no. Just throw him out there.
Yeah, just throw him out there. Right. So then we get T.J. Lang, and we say, oh, he's the future of left tackle. And now we're going to put a has-been left tackle that wasn't doing a good job back and then just be like, well, T.J. Lang's good. We're doing exactly what we said we didn't want to do for the last 3 years, but we continue to do every year.
That's very, very true. I know. Well, here's the thing. McCarthy, to his credit, was right about this. He said T.J. Lang has earned a look. To be one of the five best linemen on the field, so he deserved to be out there. Now, we said back in May, when we talked to our good friend Sigmund Bloom over at Draft Guys, that he should be in the mix, at least get a look at right tackle. And now they're going to play him at left guard. one of the places he got a few snaps in at during training camp. But I'm still not sold that that's the move.
Yeah, see, Jersey Al is reminding me that he got some snaps at left guard, which I didn't say he didn't. It's just we said we were going to set the line. Right.
And then let it happen.
That didn't happen.
Well, here's the thing. It's like I like him at either place, but I think it makes a whole lot more sense. The issues we're having mostly in pass protection are on the edges, are when the tackles are left like soloed on the defensive end. So put Lang in for Barber and set that end. If you got Clifton on one, you know it's going to be at least competent. You get Lang at the right tackle and it's just a modicum of protection off the edge when you run all these spread formations that McCarthy refuses to stop running. That's my only thinking there. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he will play. Probably they're going to come out tomorrow and McCarthy is going to announce that Lang is in at left guard.
Jersey Pack fan says that Darren College should stop doing the college experience and focus on playing.
But he's really good at the college experience. I don't mind him doing the college experience.
Yeah, but, you know, every moment he's doing the college experience is a moment he's not learning how to play any position on our team.
Well, let me tell you something right now. Every moment he's doing that is much more valuable than anything he could be doing to, quote-unquote, improve at left guard. The guy has peaked. Last year, you saw the peak. He's not going to get any better than that.
WGB3 is calling you out on Clifton. He says Clifton's been terrible all year.
He's been better than anything else they've thrown out there.
Yeah, I mean, define terrible.
Even Lang has been, like, spotty at best. I mean, nobody on that line has been good.
It's not like there was somebody really good, and then they were like, oh, let's put him back in.
There's been moments of, okay, this guy's working, that guy's working. There's been moments when four guys are working really well, but one of them blows it, you know? But nobody on that line is above reproach. I'll admit that. But come on.
Well, nobody on that line.
But is it
James
better to
Campen.
Have... So if WGB3 wants Lang in at left tackle, then what the heck? That means you're leaving in College and Barber.
Yikes.
And you can't afford to do that at this point. Clifton's better at left tackle, and Lang is better served elsewhere at this point. Because you've got to get your best guys on the field.
Look, Brady Augustine.
Brady in the house.
Brady.
What's up, Brady?
He goes, I think we are the victims of drafting O-line for value. We need a stud.
You think?
Couldn't agree more.
Well, here's the thing. Ted Thompson, one pick for the offensive line in the top, you know, in the first day, well, it used to be the first day, second rounder, Darren College.
Yeah, we talked about
that. Who is now our worst lineman.
Talked about that last week.
Our worst lineman is our top pick on the offensive line.
Well, I mean, top
That's
pick.
A little upset.
Top pick. Here's the thing, though.
He's a top pick. He's the highest pick Thompson has used
meaning,
in the offensive line.
Meaning he's the highest pick we've actually taken, not meaning he's the highest pick we should have taken, which
is to the philosophy
of you can't get, you know, there is an argument to be made with the data that you can't get a starting left tackle stud, starting left tackle stud.
Right. Well, you can't
if
get
you
past
don't
the first
pick
him
in the first
you
round.
Can't, not only the first round, you can't get him past the first 15 picks of the draft. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You know, and people will argue Clifton was taken in the second round, and I will argue he has been very good, but not great.
Greg Bedard is
even
on
at,
right now.
Even at his
Greg Bedard
at his
is on right now. I just want to let you know that.
The Bedard siren! Another week without the Greg Bedard siren! Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Bedard is here. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, he's only here because he saw that Leroy Butler's going to be on.
You know
he wants
he
to
is.
Hear what Butler's going to
You know
say.
He is. No, he
Butler's not on until 8:30 there, Greg.
He was
so
missing
us. So you're going to have to stick around.
He's just, he misses us. He's wondering when he can come on the show.
No, he doesn't.
He misses us. That's why he's on. Doesn't.
Don't talk junk.
I came for the funeral, he
exactly.
says.
Exactly. I'm sure he did.
Hey, we're dressed. There we go.
We're ready. We're ready for you, Greg. Here we go. The suits are on. No hats here. Respect for the dead. That's what I'm talking about. No, Greg, you heard it here. Next week, this Sunday, is the season. Win, it continues. McCarthy lives. He loses, it's all over. But
loses, and the Packers eat $15 million.
I don't think he gets fired. I really don't. I mean, unless they lose out, McCarthy's not going anywhere as much as I'd like him to.
Greg Bedard's calling you money right now.
I am so money. Let me tell you. Vegas, baby. Vegas.
That's what
we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
We should go to Vegas with Bedard. That would be fun.
That would be insanity raining. Well, let's lots of doom and gloom. Bedard's talking about funerals here. Let's talk a little upbeat. Let's talk about Amon Green setting the rushing record.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers have been around since 1919. No one has rushed for more yardage in a Green Bay Packer uniform than Amon Batman Green.
Although I will say that my...
Don't go hating on Amon Green.
I'm not hating.
Don't do it.
I'm not hating.
Don't
I'm just saying
do
I
it.
Was watching the game with a 74-year-old man. Uh-huh. You know, and it was a little, you know...
Was he upset that Taylor no longer held
yeah,
the record?
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason...
That makes sense.
Honestly, the only reason Taylor doesn't have the record, he had to split carries with Paul Hornung.
That's a good person to split carries with. I can understand that.
That's like Amon Green splitting...
Hey, but wait.
That's like Amon Green... No, stop.
No,
that's like
you.
Amon Green
you.
Splitting carries with Barry Sanders.
I hear you.
Seriously.
I hear you. I don't know about Barry Sanders. But I understand the reference. I get it. I will only say that Amon Green came out an awful lot. I mean, Amon Green did the whole, like, tag out and, like,
yeah.
Between the 20s, Sherman wanted to spell him, and, you know, Davenport and Fisher were averaging 5 yards a carry, blah, 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 blah. So he definitely, you know,
no, I hear you.
His
I
yard.
Love Amon Green. You know, Bedard says that that's how good the Packers are. We have to talk about Amon Green. Yeah, because we talk about positive things here at Cheesehead Nation.
Craig, I didn't win a poll about being the most negative Packer writer, all right? That wasn't me.
No.
All right? See, if you focused on some of the positives around here every once in a while, you wouldn't win those polls.
Wow.
Okay? All right.
Wow.
I'm just going to lay that out there.
Wow.
Don't look at the screen again because I don't want to know what he has to say. Oh, dear. Okay, I'll look at it.
Yeah, he's talking
there
to you.
There you go. See, Greg? Just a little life and love. Life and love here.
All I have to say is where else can you go and just get Greg Bedard on your blogcast?
Packer
That's
beat
awesome.
Writers showing up.
I love it.
Unannounced, just
I love me some
having their
Bedard.
Way. We love it. Awesome. Packer legends on the phone.
He even talks about us at conferences.
I know.
He
Greg
uses
Bedard
us as examples.
Greg Bedard was at this conference.
I felt
in Cleveland.
So astute. I felt like
I don't know.
I am a blogger.
I felt like a dork. Bedard was on this conference about like the media and blogging and about where does the future go and blah blah blah. And Bedard gave a little name check to Cheesehead TV, and we thank you for that, Greg.
Yeah, he basically said we're the future.
And I will say, wait, and while we're talking Bedard here, let's we would be remiss, and Greg brought it up at this conference. Yes, Greg, you were the first, you were the originator, the first legit beat writer / anybody having to do anything with the Packers who ever acknowledged Cheesehead TV or ever came on the show or did anything with Cheesehead Nation. So, sir... If my hat was on,
it would be off
to you.
And, you know, we got Leroy Butler coming on.
Leroy Butler!
That wouldn't happen without Greg Bedard.
Without Greg Bedard giving us some legitimacy, here we are. So, rock and roll. Who would have thunk it?
It's good stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are speaking live to Mr. Leroy Butler. That's right. Packer Hall of Famer, to be sure. No doubt about it. Leroy Butler on the phone, creator of the Lambeau Leap. Mr. Butler, how are you this evening?
Doing very well. How are you doing, guys?
We're doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. I can't believe I said off the air, but I'm just incredibly honored to have you on the show. You're a real sport for giving us your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Let's dive right into it. I think, you know, a lot of people saw what you had to say about the Tampa game in the Journal Sentinel, and I got to say, first, I agree with everything you said. B, a lot being written. National Football Post had something today. It's been in a couple different places. What do you think? How close do you think McCarthy is to losing this Packer team? I mean, it seems like it's really close, but we've never been in an NFL locker room. We don't know what it's like. Do you think that's viable? Do you think that's possible?
Well, yeah, I mean, because a lot of guys right now are looking for direction. You know, it's the youngest team in the league for the fourth year in a row. A lot of these guys are getting ready for bowl games, and a lot of these guys are not used to being in this position. But this is big boy league. But you know, to me, I just think the penalties and things of that nature has never gotten fixed. A lot of the mistakes that the guys are making, they haven't gotten fixed. And to me, it just seemed like a team that really is confused about who they really are. I mean, do you want to be aggressive on defense? Do you want to be a running team? Do you want to be a passing team? Is it West Coast offense? Because we're not necessarily seeing it. West Coast is short passing game instead of the long passes. But it just seems like to me, you know, Aaron has been sacked 37 times, and of those 37 times, based on looking at the film, maybe 9.5 to 11.5 of them were his because he's holding on to the ball.
Right.
Now, that brings me to my next assessment. Why call the 5- and 7-step drops if that offensive line cannot protect? And this is before the Dallas game. I mean, look what these guys did on a very good offensive line against
Philadelphia
Eagles.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They destroyed them. So I'm scared to death going into this game.
Well, I got to tell you, I think most of Packer Nation is right there with you. You know, obviously, you won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. You were just an out-of-this-world safety. What do you think when you see things like Charles Woodson and Cullen Jenkins questioning the defensive play calling out in public to reporters? Is that alarm bells for you? Do you just think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that's even worse than what we're hearing? Or is this just the ultimate frustration of having to switch schemes?
Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways. You can see that the guys just care, because even if they didn't say anything and just do the same thing they're doing, people say, well, they're just collecting checks. So when you come out and say things and you're frustrated, I think what the problem is on defense, not so much the scheme, I just think it's too much. I mean, and talking to some of these guys and even listening to some of the post-game interviews, they may have too many schemes, too many situational defenses. I mean, they got to scale it down so these guys can fly around. Right now, the guys are, they're thinking too much. They got to put that behind them, and they got to fly around. Otherwise, I mean, you're going to see what's going to happen. Now, statistically, they haven't been, you know, that terrible.
Right.
But it just seemed like going all the way back to the Minnesota game, two must wins, mm-hmm. you know, and not only that, it hurts Aaron, because all this falls back on Aaron, because I just don't want him to be known as a stat guy, you know. I mean, I can name 15 guys that played in the NFL that all they are just great stats, and they never won any big games. And he had an opportunity to beat Brett twice and didn't do that, so this loss falls on him. So he needs to go down there and talk to the defense and say, look, if I give you your lead 11 points in this fourth quarter, you got to keep it or it falls on my butt.
Right. Well, and speaking of that, what did you think of Al Harris jawing with the rookie and then getting taken to school the next play? I mean, is that something, does he get do his teammates call him out on that the next in film session? Does he get any earful of that, you know, in the locker room?
Oh, no question about it. But, you know, the thing about any veteran, you try to take a rookie, you know, you try to rattle him because, you know, remember that Josh Freeman hadn't played since, you know, the days at K-State. So, you know, you try to get in his head a little bit. But this kid, not only is he one of the biggest rookies I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, this guy is very composed. He was looking forward to the challenge. I mean, they had the jerseys going. They had Leroy Selman's jersey.
You must have felt right at home.
There's a lot going on, though. No?
You must have felt right at home.
There you go. And not to mention, we only sacked him one time. So, I mean, if we would have sacked him 5 or 6 times, it would have worked.
Definitely. You know, it's so great that to hear your passion for the Packers. I mean, you've been away from the game for a while now, and you know, the fact that you're still so, I mean, just reading your Twitter feed during the game, you're so broken up, and it's so obvious. You know, I think that's why Packer fans connect with you so much. I mean, what has it been like as far as like being an ex-Packer but being so looked up to and so sought after? Just talk a little bit about your connection to the fans.
Well, I think the Packer fans, I mean, that's the reason why a lot of us come back. I think the Packer fans is the reason why that in 1995 we lost the opening game to the Rams. There was 35,000 people in the stadium to chant "Go Pack, Go!" And I think these fans went through some tough times in the 80s, and they don't want to go back to that. They want to win.
Right.
And we were spoiled in the 90s, you know, going to 2 championships, winning one of them. And I mean, and they just don't want this thing to come unglued, because the people who have those stock certificates, you know, on their wall, they're proud of that. So I don't blame them for having the passion, and you know, they just want the best for the team, and they just don't want it to be ran into the ground. So hey, I feel their pain, and I'm there with them.
All right, but and we love you for it. Hey, you know, I gotta talk about this a little bit. I think it's pretty well documented that you recently bought a car dealership in Wisconsin. A Ford dealership. Yeah, how did that come about?
You know, I always wanted to get into the car business, but after the last couple of years with the economy, you know, everybody was kind of backing off, and I wanted to get with a company that was viable. I wanted to get with a company that was stable, and I wanted to get with a company that had some money. I saw the product, and the one product that I was very taken by, once I saw the new Ford Taurus, I wanted to try to obtain one. I got one now up in Wapakoneta. We're doing very well. I've been open for about 2.5 months. So you can go to LeroyButlerFord.com and you can order them, or you can come over to the dealership, take test rides, and I'll be able to go there with these. This month actually is truck month, so you can come down and test out a new Ford F-150 whenever you like.
So that's awesome. Are you going to do commercials?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I cut 3 of them yesterday.
Nice.
Nice.
You don't have anything to do with the Lambo Elite, so look out for those.
Nice, definitely.
They have to.
We're going to have to
they
post have to. Those on Packer Video.
You know, Mr. Butler, I have to call you that. The Butler Foundation is dedicated to helping women undergoing treatment for breast cancer. Why did you select that particular cause? Is there something personal in your life that you've been affected by? Or what drew you to that?
I really appreciate you asking about that, because that's very important to me. Actually, nobody in my family has breast cancer. I have 4 daughters, though, and it's just the one disease I always hear people talk about. I was in 1998 running out of the tunnel. I saw a young lady with a pink ribbon on her jersey, and she told me about breast cancer. And we was playing the San Francisco 49ers. Now, they didn't scare me very much, but when she started telling me about statistics of breast cancer, it scared me. And I was like, man, you know, I don't want to be stuck on this earth with a bunch of guys. I better do whatever I can to help these women out.
That's a perfect response. I love that. As a father of 3 girls myself, I'm right there with you.
Great. There you go.
Oh, you know it. You know, the girls, they drive you crazy. Getting back to the current team, because we got an army of diehards here every week. You know, your former high school teammate, I believe, Edgar Bennett, is a coach on the current team, the running backs coach.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the struggles of the Packers and their, you know, up until they've run the ball a little bit, but what about their struggles in the run game? Have you talked to Edgar about that at all, and has he had any thoughts on
that? Well, we have a little bit, but I think Edgar understands this is a throw-first team to set up the run. With Amon Green now, they have a two-headed monster who just became the Packer all-time leading rusher.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we can stick to that, it would be awesome. When we were up 11 points against Tampa, I'm thinking, just run the ball. I mean, you're going to see one of the most biggest, physicalest teams in the Dallas Cowboys. They have a running game that is unmatched by anybody, but it's a big, physical, brutal line, and they just maul you all game.
Right.
And that's the kind of way that the Packers can be, but they got to just stick to it, be committed to it.
Absolutely. What did you, you know, like I said before, Leroy Butler joining us is just an amazing, amazing honor. I don't want to keep you too long, but just a few more questions. We got, you know, going back to the Viking game and the Johnny Jolly incident with a headbutt. I mean, what does that tell you about McCarthy as a coach when you see Johnny Jolly coming off the sideline and just there's no coach getting in his face whatsoever? I mean, what does that tell you about the current staff?
It just means that it is accepted. I mean, McCarthy, he's been addressing the penalty situation for a while. And at one point, he said, hey, look, it's just football. You know, it's just a part of it, and penalties are a part of the game. But to me, if that would have been Mike Holmgren, oh, my goodness. It would have been ugly on the sideline because he hated penalties.
But, absolutely.
And, you know, we had an opportunity to ask Nick Barnett, and he gave us a different, you know, perspective on it. He said, you know, he didn't want most guys to get down on other guys, and he didn't want to, you know, get in their face because he didn't want them to get too down on themselves. And, you know, guys realized they made a boneheaded play, and he didn't want to get in the guy's face. But to me, you know, you got to be accountable, and you got to feel like that, you know, you didn't even make the play. All you have to do is just walk off the field, and it's a game-changing
play.
That's why the Minnesota Vikings were very much smarter more well-coached team than them. I mean, they made a chance to – they had a chance to just rub it in the Green Bay Packers' face up in the Metrodome with Brett through a long pass instead of running the ball. And at the end, instead of taking a knee, they ran the ball again. So that just shows you what people around the league think about the Green Bay Packers. We got to get our swagger back at home, and it starts with the Cowboys.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, last question, Leroy. What happens? What's your prediction both Sunday and the rest of the year? How do you think this all plays out?
I think the Dallas Cowboys, on paper, they're the hottest team right now. They should beat the Packers. I mean, they have the best running game. The quarterback's hot right now.
Right.
They got a receiver in Miles Austin. Last time he was in Lambeau Field, we could not contain that guy.
No, ridiculous catch.
I just remember him. I mean, you remember that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year.
Miserable game watching that kid.
And that was the backbreaker to Miles
Austin. Big, fast guy, yeah.
Yep.
And, I mean, not to mention that defensive line, you know, with DeMarcus Ware and Ratliff.
Yeah.
You know, so, if we give up 5 to 6 sacks against, you know, Tampa Bay, I mean, there's nothing from saying these guys won't get 7 or 8 sacks. So, I know I'm a homer, but I gotta tell you how it is.
No.
I predict the Dallas Cowboys winning next game.
Oh, that's just awful.
Oh, man.
That's just awful.
You know, I have a bad taste in my mouth even saying that, but I can't just let me be a Packers fan and look at the big picture.
Well, you know, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. Leroy Butler, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're here. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're a legend.
We'll do it again. Once they get it turned around, we'll do it again.
That's what I like to hear. Everybody should visit Leroy's foundation. We'll put it up on the blog. Visit the Ford dealership. Leroy, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
All right, take care, guys.
Have a great night.
Leroy Butler.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I have chills right now.
I can't even. Do you think he knew that he was talking to two dorks in New York? Like,
seriously. I'm, like, speechless right now. Okay?
I'm just, oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Brian Caravu. Okay?
Yeah, Brian Caravu. Lined
Brian
it
Caravu
up.
Made that happen.
Made it happen.
As usual.
As usual. All the big gets are Brian. None of the big ones are us. It's all Brian.
Wow. Yeah, we're sorry for the technical difficulties, but you know what? We came back with a bang.
With a bang. I think Bedard broke the site. First it was Pelissero. Then it was Bedard.
And then he leaves.
And then he just takes
like
off.
Leroy Butler gets here and Greg Bedard comes. You know, at least he was talking to people. He was like talking to people
exactly.
While we had
does.
Technical difficulties.
That's what we do. We get Greg in here when we go up.
He was the glue. I don't know what happened. Live stream like just went. They were like,
and
later.
You were just. But Corey was literally with the president this afternoon.
I actually had a meeting
about broadcasting.
I had
New Year's
a
Eve.
Meeting today with the program director of live stream about New Year's Eve, and they killed our site. They were like, "Wow, we finally noticed you guys, and you're terrible."
That's the end of that. But you were pimping their service. You were saying like how great it was, and blah
I
blah.
I was
blah. How you should use these guys.
Appreciate
blah, blah.
It, live stream.
So you can tell them tomorrow that yeah, here I am talking you up.
Yeah,
and you totally bombed.
I
right
hope
in the middle
that
of
doesn't happen on New Year's Eve.
Good luck with that.
So, should we call Brian Caravu?
Yes, let's call Brian Caravu.
Let's
much
what...
more exciting than Leroy Butler. Well, maybe not. I love you, Ryan.
No, nothing is more
hey,
exciting than this.
Roll it. Roll it. You got something to roll here before we call Brian.
What am I rolling?
Roll the blogosphere. He's the king of the blogosphere. Something like that.
Oh, wait, where?
It's one of these. It's around there somewhere.
There we go.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. Packer Blogosphere. And I see you all on the live blog saying, oh, great, now we get to talk about special teams. That's right.
Happy birthday to you.
Brian Caravu.
Happy birthday. Uh-oh. Oh, sorry, guys. I was just singing happy birthday to Mike McCarthy.
Oh, no. Are you serious? Is today his birthday?
Today is Mike McCarthy's birthday.
Oh, my God. The guy... You know, everyone wants him ridden out of town on a rail.
Happy birthday, Mike.
And it's his birthday.
In about 4 months, you're going to be getting a $7 million bonus to leave the team.
Oh, so everyone's ragging on the fact that we, you know, got to talk special teams, but you got to talk special teams.
Especially after that game.
When your freaking special team sucks major booty and contributes to the loss. Ryan, would you say that's a fair assessment?
I can't defend the special teams. They are horrible, to put it kindly. The Packers are now last in the NFL in net punting average. And that is mostly due to the coverage because, Jeremy Cabanos is not the best punter in the world.
He's not even close. He's one of the top, he's one of the bottom 10 punters in the NFL.
Probably. He's in the middle of the pack as far as gross punting.
Right.
But then the Packers, their opponents
right.
are 30th in punt return average, which that's what kills the net.
Right. Well,
killing the net. That's what the Packers do best.
Killing the net.
They kill the net.
Kill the net. All right. Here's my thing. Here's where I am on special teams right now. And I know everyone's calling for Sean Slocum's head. And I said I put him in the bad and blah, 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 blah. But let's look at something here. Seriously. All right. When it comes to special teams, and as our resident special teams expert, I hope you'll go with me on this one. How much can you really say? I mean, Sean Slocum came in this offseason to yet again the youngest roster in the NFL when the Packers were good on special teams, you know, like back 10 years ago. They had guys on special teams who were veterans, who played on special teams. Jason Wilde pointed this out, and it got me thinking, and I kind of got to agree here. Like, they had guys like, you know, William Henderson playing special teams, you know, who was a first-team special teamer on, like, every coverage unit. And he wasn't a spring chicken. He was, like, you know, a 10-year veteran at this point. So I got to start thinking a little bit that, you know, when you got Nick Collins on kick coverage, who Nick Collins, by the way, totally blew the contain when it was 24-17 and they had a huge return. You know, when you got guys like, I don't know, like Jarrett Bush, you know, who is their senior, like best quote unquote special teams guy.
He's not the best at anything.
But that's the point. Like these, and John Kuhn, these are like 3-4 year players and they're your best, your veteran guys who are quote-unquote know what to do, who but continually screw up. Like, I got to start thinking that some of it's the player, some of it's the roster. Like, the whole thing of the move to the 3-4 was about getting quote-unquote body types, like getting linebackers there on special teams. Well, you're still running Nick Collins down there, you know? And it's still sucking. So I'm starting to give Slocum a bit of a break here. And I don't know, maybe you think that's totally full of air. I'd love to hear your thought on that.
I'm kind of wondering myself why, you know, maybe some guys aren't on special teams. I don't see Quinn Johnson on very many special teams units, and I'm trying to figure out why that might be. I mean, nice big fullback type. You think he would be
run?
The type that would be on there? Yeah,
who
has decent speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, just another stat I'll throw out there, and this is courtesy of Bill Huber at Packer Report, but the Packers have committed 18 penalties on special teams alone this year. That's an average of over 2 penalties a game on special teams, 11 of them for holding.
Yeah, and those are and the majority of that, you look at it, how many the young guys, again, you got guys like what was it, Dietrich Smith? On the big run back that got called back a couple weeks ago, you know, you got the obligatory Jarrett Bush penalty every week. You know, it's like these are not. If you had some veteran guys who knew what the hell they were doing, even I didn't need them blowing up blocks or anything. I just need them to know what they're doing. Like McCarthy said in his press conference, it's all about lane discipline. Well, you know who knows how to keep lane discipline? Veterans. That's who.
Yeah, Nick Collins isn't doing it, and he's a veteran on the team, so I don't know where you turn to. You can see with A.J. Hawk being reduced in a defensive role that he started to see a little bit more action on special teams now. But, of course, with the injury to Brandon Chiller, he's back playing a little more defense now too.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I'm just sick of the whole thing. I'm sick of, like, taking a lead or having a score and then watching a huge run back. It's just like last year. It's 2008 all over again. And like I wrote on the blog today, at some point, you got to start thinking maybe it's the players. And I think McCarthy was a little pointed in that yesterday, saying, I'm not changing anything. The message isn't wrong. They get a clear message. They're getting coached. You got to start thinking, maybe those players aren't so good.
Greg Bedard is calling you out on the live blog right now.
Isn't he calling me out? Please. What's he saying now?
He's saying that he told you about the 3-4.
Greg,
I tried
you
to tell y'all,
me.
Especially Mr. Nagler, that if you move to the 3-4, it's going to take a year to at least really get it.
Absolutely. And I thought, fool that I am, that Capers would have at least a modicum of sense and use, and he even was quoted as saying that the nickel would look very similar to what they ran last year. The nickel, which was their best package, which featured four down linemen, which featured an extra back on the defensive back. It was like, I thought he would be smart enough. And he kept saying how he was going to use the personnel.
He said that at Packer Fan Fest. You were calling him on the 3-4.
To us, live. To us, live at Packer Fan Fest. We've got it on YouTube. You can go check it out on our page.
Yes, we do. He talks exactly
about that very thing.
He's going to use a hybrid. He's not going to use a full 3-4.
About our personnel and how it was a blah, 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 blah. So, Greg, my biggest mistake was taking Capers at his word.
He says, yeah, they were selling BS.
But this is true.
And that's true.
Now we know.
And
now,
we bought it.
We bought it, Greg, because we're fans, man.
We're bloggers.
We're not impartial, brilliant beat writers yourself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love my team.
We actually listen to what they tell us. When Jeff Bloom tells us something, we listen.
Not anymore, man. Screw that. Although I will say, I had a bit of a truce with Bloom the other day. It was nice. It was nice. It was good. But, you know. We're back in the Packers' good graces. So that's
we
good.
Are?
Yeah, we are. So it's good.
For the moment.
Until I piss somebody else off, I'm sure, with whatever else I write. So, Brian, what do you think this weekend? What do you think happens?
I don't know. My predictions are becoming worthless, but...
Come on, you had 21-20 the other week. That almost happened. Not.
I don't see it happening against a hot team like the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, had the Packers won.
Come on!
Had they gained a little momentum last week, got a win, you know, maybe it happens. But, I'm off the bandwagon.
So, wait.
I'm calling a win.
Wait, I am too.
Come on.
So, wait a second. Leroy Butler and Brian Caravu are both saying the Cowboys are going to beat the Packers. This... cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. I'm calling a win too, Corey. I'm right there with you.
We're winning. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the Dallas freaking Cowboys in Lambeau.
It's a team owned by Jerry Jones.
Let me tell you, they won last year for the first time ever in Lambeau Field. It's not going to happen again. Ghost of Lombardi will not let it occur. You hear that, Brian?
I hear you. And
I want to have this Packer sneak on the 1 yard line, okay?
Sorry, I didn't. My co-host cut you off there.
I don't care. We're going to win. I don't want to hear any of this crap.
Oh, no. We're very upset today, ladies and gentlemen, as you can plainly see. Okay, Brian, does McCarthy keep his job? Yes or no after the season? And I don't want to hear, we got to let the season play out. Prediction right now.
I think he does. If I was the GM of the Packers, he wouldn't be, but... I think he does. I think he keeps his job. I don't think they'll make a change yet.
Yeah, I got to agree with that, unfortunately. All right, Brian, you're the best. Live blog, Railbird Central. Check it out. For all your daily Packer needs, you can't get better than Railbird Central. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
All right, are we going to take a break? I don't even know. This show is so screwed up at this point. I don't even know. We're gonna take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that Greg just talked about on the live blog, about the fact that I don't think the Packers will get near Tony Romo. I completely concur. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation in the his house. We just talked to Brian Caravu.
We're going to try something new here.
And Leroy Butler.
We're going to try something new. We've never done it before.
Oh, dear. Are we really going to go here?
We didn't announce it. But
we intimated it might happen. Well, we didn't announce it at the beginning of the show.
We have people on the live blog.
We have plenty of people on the live blog.
And if any of them, well, we're going to start it off with Keith in Staten Island. Okay.
Keith, you know, last week, I feel bad. I want to say this first. Last week, I said Iron Man, who I have not seen tonight, by the way.
No, he accepted the invite.
But I have not seen him on the live blog, so I'm very upset. Iron Man, Andrew, and Lana were named as our super fans, but Keith.
Keith in Staten Island.
Ultimate super fan.
He is.
So my apologies.
He calls in every week.
Every week. Without fail. So here's something that
since the podcasts.
Yeah, no. Way back in the day, like when Corey and I were up on iTunes and three people were listening to us, Keith was there.
And he was at a Kettle of Fish. He was one of the people
at
the audience. So here's Keith, what he had to say about the game.
And honestly, you lose to a winless team that's starting a rookie quarterback for the first time with a rookie head coach, and you lose? That is disgraceful. I'm sorry. Absolutely disgraceful. And, yeah, that's what I have to say. And here comes my train, and I'm done. There you go.
But you just can't sum it up any better than that. I love that. That's like here one comes, of the best things I've ever heard in my life.
Here comes my train, and I'm done.
And I'm done.
I feel that way sometimes.
Dude, I feel like that like after every Packer loss, basically.
So
that one in particular.
We're going to try, okay? We don't know what happens when like a bunch of people call, and maybe nobody would call.
I don't think anybody's going to call.
But we'll see.
Well, we're going to do a call-in,
we're
going to
do a call-in.
Here at Cheesehead Nation, Packer Transplants putting the live back in live.
I'm a little scared.
I'm very scared. I'm very, very scared. So if you want, dial the number. What the heck is our number? I never remember it.
It's 646-797-2909.
Now, one at a time, ladies and gentlemen. We can't overload our circuits.
Let's see if we get any calls.
I doubt we will.
Well, what should we talk about while we're waiting to call?
Well, there's a ton to talk about, let me tell you.
What did
there's
we
a ton
with?
Of stuff we didn't get to in the first segment. No pressure again from the defense. Dom Capers. Thought the whole point of bringing you in was to provide pressure. Cantman's injured.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, you're on Cheesehead TV.
Corey.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Andrew in Atlanta.
Andrew in Atlanta! All right.
Only fitting.
Yeah, it is fitting.
Only fitting.
It's actually perfect.
Absolutely perfect. How are you, Andrew?
Any better.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. I just wanted to call in and say I really enjoyed your tete-a-tete with the posters today that no longer allow you to have feelings and
yeah, that
take
was,
your opinions.
That was weird. that was very weird, I gotta say. And Donald's designated driver was the instigator of that from his post that I linked to, and he's not here tonight, but yeah, it was odd. It was like, I thought the whole point of a blog was to be emotional and get out of sorts, but so thanks for the kudos. So, Andrew,
I think you saw my post. My post was, guys, attention Kmart shoppers, this is a blog.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Hey, where did you watch the game last week?
I'm actually in my apartment in Virginia, so
nice.
I watched it at Mr. Day's in Alexandria.
Nice.
Very nice.
Were there a lot of Packer fans?
Yeah, they have a nice little area. It's not TJ's in Atlanta, but they have a nice little area upstairs, probably that seats 20 to 30. But I'll be at TJ's in Atlanta this weekend. I'm going home, so I'll be at
Atlanta.
TJ's to watch the Cowboys game.
Speaking of TJ's, if anybody is in Atlanta watching right now, there are sites on our Packer fan forum. TJ's is represented.
Yeah, no doubt.
It looks
no
really doubt. Hot. If I ever go to Atlanta during Packer game, I'm definitely going to TJ's.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, this weekend, what are your thoughts? What do you think happens? What happens to McCarthy? What's going on?
Well, I'm not one of those people who thinks that there's any chance whatsoever that McCarthy and Thompson are in trouble for the reasons that you guys elucidated. I mean, they're not going to shell out $18 million to get rid of either one or both of those guys. I think we're in this mess for the next at least year through the 2010 season. I really want the Packers to win, obviously, but I think what Bedard just said is accurate. I think they're going to get hammered. I think both lines are going to dominate for Dallas, and I think the fans are going to become totally unruly, but I don't think it's going to change for the next year. I just don't.
Wow.
Way to bring us down.
Thanks,
Andrew in Atlanta.
And we're hanging up now. Later, Andrew.
Well, I mean, I'm going to cheer. I'll be screaming and cheering. I love the Packers, I hope to pull the upset like Tampa upset us, but, I mean, if you look at Dallas and you watch that game, the last game Dallas played, I mean, it'd have to be insane to say, you know, we're the favorites.
It's true.
We're not.
It's true.
No, well, we're not favored at all.
I still think we're going to win, though.
In fact, I think Dallas is favored by 2.5.
Whatever.
2.5.
Well, we've been optimistic the last few weeks on the blog saying, you know, we're going to win. Didn't work. So I just posted Dallas by 40. I'm gone. As the dark, I'm taking the George Costanza approach.
Nice. I think that works. I think that's definitely valid. All right, Andrew, you're the best. You're a super fan. Thanks so much for calling us. Our first call-in ever. Thank you, Andrew, in Atlanta.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Have a great night.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
all right.
We just took our first call live on the air from someone That was didn't know it wasn't prearranged.
That was not prearranged, but it was fitting.
It was fitting. Especially fitting that we played Keith first and then Andrew called.
Keith, then Andrew.
That's perfect. Two Cheesehead TV superfans.
Oh, here we go.
That's nothing wrong with that.
The Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy picture.
It was only a matter of time until someone made the Thompson McCarthy Dumb and Dumber poster.
Oh, we got longtime fan on. All right, longtime fan. Jim.
In the house. What's up, buddy? What is up? Longtime fan, if you're not aware, is a huge monster, super humongous Packer fan. You can't get much bigger at all. So returning while we wait for another phone call.
Yeah,
if
next
anyone
on the list
dares to call us. quietly, AJ Hawk had a good game.
Yeah.
He had the holding call, the illegal contact penalty. I think it was.
Oh, unknown number.
Oh no!
Look, you can't even talk.
I don't even know.
Hello, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey guys, it's Thaddeus.
What's up, Thaddeus?
Good.
Doing well. How are you, sir?
How's it going?
We met Thaddeus at Kettle of Fish. How are you, Thaddeus?
I'm doing okay. I mean, the Packers losing, not too good, but I guess life is okay. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there. It's tough. It's a tough week. If I have one more person at work come up to me and say, "Ooh, dude, the Buccaneers," I'm gonna punch him in the face.
Oh, but yeah. Oh my god. I know what you mean. It's happening at school to me all the time.
It's just the worst. So what do you think this weekend, Cowboys, Packers? Come on, diehard fan. What do you think happens?
The funny thing is, I have a bet with my friend who's a Giants fan who's going to have the better record. And right now we're both, like, really sweating it out. He's hoping we beat the Cowboys.
Sure,
and
I
am too. So. But I don't know. If Jermichael Finley plays, I think we have a chance. But if not, you know, I don't know.
A chance?
It does not look.
What's the percentage there? What do you think?
A chance.
35%.
35%.
Man,
people are just done with the Packers. Wow. Listen,
okay, we're hanging up now.
35%.
I don't know what Rodgers is doing. I tried defending him, and now he's like really holding on the ball for too long. Like it's just like I can't take it. I'm yelling at the TV. It's not good.
It's not nice. Wait, you're in Brooklyn. Are you in Brooklyn? Is that right?
Yeah.
Where do you watch the game?
Mostly through my laptop, but
there you go.
Like
I don't know if I should say that on. Should we say that on the blog or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's fine.
Great.
If the NFL hasn't shut us down by now,
they're not gonna.
Yeah.
I break about a million copyright agreements every week, so don't worry about it. It's quite all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah. No, that's nothing wrong with that. That's the way of the future. That's what we like to hear.
Fighting in yesterday, and it came on like at 4 o'clock. The last 2 minutes or so was on Fox, so it was weird. It was just I don't know why it was showing.
Well, the Bears game,
got destroyed.
The Bears were getting destroyed, and they thought our game was better, and
it was for Buccaneers fans. Well, Thaddeus, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for calling in. You give us a 35% chance. Is that your final? Is that your final statement?
Let's push it up to 45.
Fifty-five. We'll be up to 100 by the end of the night.
It's an auction.
Thaddeus, you're the man. Thank you so much.
You guys are the best, as always.
See you later. See you soon. See you around the blog. Thanks, Thaddeus.
Okay.
All right. Live call-ins.
Wow.
My mind is blown.
What's really weird is we were like, we've said this so many times, but I can't tell you how many times during when we were doing podcasts, just sitting here in the same place,
doing a podcast
that was not live, going, wow, wouldn't it be cool to get call-ins?
It'd be great. But who the heck would call dorks like us? And now they do.
Yeah, they do.
People call dorks like us every week, apparently.
They do.
Craziness. So as I was saying, AJ Hawk
had a good game.
Had a sack. And he almost had a pick. He should have had a pick. That penalty was ridiculous. That penalty doesn't get called in like 45% of games.
They're not going to let you talk here.
They don't want to hear me talk.
Here we go.
That's what I hear.
It's a 715. Hello, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
That's what I hear. 715. Hello, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
I always like talking to a couple of dorks.
Hey,
Alex Talish from PackersLounge.com.
What is up, Alex? Alex, you got to turn on your computer, buddy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. I'm cautiously optimistic and not nearly as upset as I thought I would be.
That's
there
good.
You go. That's good.
Like
that's good. That's what we
how,
like to hear.
How is life in Viking Land?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's terrible. You wouldn't believe it. First of all, I wore my Aaron Rodgers jersey. I live in this little town now. There's like 1,000 people. It's like everybody knows who you are. In fact, you don't even have to take your garbage to the curb. They come up to your house or you put your can and empty it from you. That's how small it is. But anyway, so I put on my Aaron Rodgers jersey, and I was going to head down to the One Horse gas station that closes at 10 p.m. every night. So, like, nothing there. But anyway, I went in there, and people were friendly. No one had a Vikings jersey on. No one gave me a hard time. It's, you know, it's really strange. It wouldn't happen around where I came from. But it's all right so far. I've gotten every game on TV, so far, so good. We'll
there you go.
Nice.
That's good. That's good. So, this weekend, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, I don't know. I thought I was going to be upset. The problem is I'm getting used to it, and that's what scares me more than anything else. It's like it just doesn't bother me, and it's not concerning me all that much, and I don't know why that is. And perhaps that I'm that comfortable with us losing is a bad thing. But I'll go out on a limb. Packers, 31-28. I'll always go with the Pats.
There you go. There you go. That's a fan, ladies and gentlemen. You hear that?
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. That's how it used to be done around here all the time. I don't know what's all this 35%.
I don't know
now.
What's happening.
Mud duck transplants do it anyway.
That's true. Well, now you are in the club.
You are a transplant.
You are a transplant.
You are a Packer transplant.
You are one of us, officially. And people, if you don't know, I mean, I'm sure there's like maybe 1.5 people on the blog or listening to the podcast or whatever who are not aware of PackersLounge.com. You have to check it out. If for no other reason.
One person is aware of Packers Lounge.
No. Everyone's aware of Packers Lounge.
Not on Cheesehead Nation.
You got to check it out if for no other reason than to see Alex call me out on my bullshit.
It's always fun.
It's good. It's true.
Really?
It's why you're there.
That's what keeps the site alive, really. I don't have
you know,
so I'll just rip on you and people get mad at me.
It's good, man. It's good. Hey. Like Brett Favre said, there are always Brett Favre haters. There will definitely always be Cheesehead TV haters.
You can take that to the bank.
Well, Alex, you're a real sport for calling. Thank you so much. Everybody, check out PackersLounge.com.
Have a good night, fellas.
Have a great night.
Alex
Kalish in the house. Cheesehead Nation.
I can't believe we actually got 3 people to call us.
That's kind of ridiculous, actually.
I thought like one person was going to call.
And
us.
I can't even believe Greg Bedard is still here.
He left. He saw we were taking call-ins and he got bored.
He got bored. No, he's waiting for an answer to his question, I think. I think somebody called Good Kid, the Good Kid, asked him who would win in a fight between Bedard and Domofsky. And Bedard asks,
I know
in
the
a fight,
answer to that.
Good Kid? I'm still here. I told you he's waiting for an answer to this question. Good Kid. Which is it? In a fight? I got to take Bedard in that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I definitely.
We had
take
Rob
Bedard
on last week. Good guy. Love him. 2 kids. Mm. Great guy. But Greg, don't hurt him too bad.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Greg could own him in a fight. It wouldn't even be close.
Greg, just don't hammer, don't hurt him. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
TX Packer fan. 646-797. 2909. It's not that hard. It's on our website. It's right on
somewhere.
The right. There's a button.
You know, they don't want to deal with the website. Come on. They're on this page. They don't want to go away, you know?
Oh, I got to see
this. Riveted.
We got a poll up right now on the site. Which coaching name is the most appealing to you? Bill Cowher, John Gruden. I missed them all.
Oh, dude. Please. All that Bill
Cowher. Mike Holmgren.
We talked about Bill Cowher.
Mike Holmgren. Is that appealing to you as a coach?
Here's something interesting. Bill Huber, who I think Brian referenced earlier, talked to someone who was quote close to Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren would not rule out a return to Green Bay. Check it, people.
Interesting.
That would be insanity.
Well, I would like Chucky.
Insanity.
I would like Chucky.
I'll take Chucky just because he'd be more entertaining.
I'd like Chucky.
At this point,
I'd like Chucky better than Cowher.
I would too. I'm sick. I'm just sick of like the blandness and the no passion and the no fire and the losing and the same problems over and over again. I mean, goodness gracious, can we get a coach who will answer a question?
Greg said he would talk. He talked to his second cousin, and he said Holmgren wants a job.
Yeah, Greg. Just because I like Bill. You can make fun of Bill Huber all you want. I like Bill. Bill's a good guy. Bill was very gracious to me at FanFest.
Seriously.
It was very nice.
I was a little worried when I was a little worried, but now that we have Greg Bedard as the beat writer, I'm not right. worried anymore.
Wait, I'm sorry. You were worried before Greg started working for the Journal
Sentinel? Yeah, because we just got Rob Domofsky all the time. And I like Rob Domofsky. I'm not willing to go as far as I love Rob Domofsky, like you just said. But I'm willing to be like, no. Rob Domofsky is serviceable. But compared to Greg Bedard, it's really, it's kind of like a rabbit and, it's kind of like a rabbit racing a turtle.
You know, Greg, they're just great at different things. That's it. That's all it is. Like, Greg is great at what he does.
It's true.
And Rob is great.
Well, you know what? You know what happens when you write for a paper that actually has like 2 million people or whatever.
Millions of people.
Versus like 500,000 people.
Right.
You know. It's competition. It's like Bill Michaels. If Bill Michaels had competition, people would see how terrible he is.
Well, eventually, that competition is coming via Cheesehead Nation. But we digress. We definitely digress.
What's left on our list? It's 10:16. You know, we've had three people call us, so we really can't expect any more people to call us.
We can't expect more than that. How about Finley and Nelson? How much does the offense miss these guys? You look at Jermichael Finley. And Jordy Nelson, since they've been out, the offense has really been start and stop. I mean, not that it was ever humming, I guess you could say, but, I mean, Finley creates these matchup problems in the middle of the field. They've just gone. You know, Havener's a great story, but he's not Jermichael Finley.
No.
You know, and you'll notice he had to be kept in blocking 90% of the time on Sunday because our tackles can't block anybody. And Darren College can't block anybody.
Nobody can block anybody.
It's kind of sad.
The only person that can block someone is Amon Green.
It's kind of scary. Speaking of blocking somebody, roll the Darren College clip. Can I just show somebody something? Just because I've just railed about this to my wife, who just doesn't care. I mean, look at Darren College. This twist. This is like game on the line. That's 9 yards in the backfield, ladies and gentlemen, to a defensive end who just changed his first name to Styles in honor of the character from Teen Wolf. True story. Okay? Okay, wow. I'm sorry. I know this is a family program, but that is fucking ridiculous. 9 yards in the backfield on a junior Pop Warner twist.
Now I got to take clean off of the iTunes feed.
Please do, because fucking ridiculous is the only thing that describes that. Because that's the only thing that works in this situation. All right, I'm done. No more swearing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You know, you're the one with three girls. I don't have any children. I don't swear on the show.
You know what? And they are in bed. Thank you very much. In bed, as all good children.
Should we look at that other clip?
Yeah, why not? But it's just going to depress people. I had this whole thing laid out. I was going to show out blah, blah, blah. But this speaks like, Jared Bush, what are you doing? They need a touchdown. They don't need to complete a pass at the 1 yard line. They need a touchdown. Why is Jared Bush on the field? Why is he on the field?
Why is he thinking that? Oh.
Jared Bush, why do you plague my existence?
Brady Augustine or J.R. Augustine, one of them just wrote. They wrote a while ago. Why is Jared Bush on our team? Seriously.
I don't know. He's stealing money. But more so than that, why is Giacomini on this team? Talk about, like, Domofsky said it perfectly last week.
Seriously.
He's stealing money.
Ever since the
NFC. He's stealing a paycheck.
The day that Jared Bush refused to drop on the ball at the NFC Championship game was the day he should have been released from our team. That was 2007.
Yeah, it kind of was. Bedard just said, I don't think College was asked about that tonight on Tuesday Night Touchback. No,
yeah,
I don't
maybe
think he was.
Maybe Bob McGinn wasn't there to ask him.
You know, I got to check out Tuesday Night Touchback.
Who's going to start? Where's Bob McGinn yelling questions at Mike McCarthy? I want to hear that.
He just doesn't do it until the offseason.
I'm ready
for
that.
Season play out. He doesn't get.
I want to see it.
Speaking of which, and Greg, I know you've been pimping this on Twitter, but I will give it some love here at Cheesehead Nation. If you haven't yet, get Bob McGinn's book. Oh, my goodness.
Do we need to put must read? Do we need to put that
must
with Phil's book?
Read. Oh, my goodness. He has done a compendium of every Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl book, the ultimate Super Bowl book, I think is what it's called. It is amazing.
Yeah, I saw the interview, but I haven't seen the book
yet.
It
is amazing. Everybody who is either listening to this, watching this on the live blog, if you in any way hearing my voice right now, you have got to get this book. It is ridiculously great. That's all I got to say.
I wouldn't really expect anything else out of Bob McGinn.
No, well, exactly. I mean, he is the creme de la creme.
But, you know, I want more cantankerousness.
Yeah, but why? Here's my question.
I want cantankerousness questions.
I know, but he just, that's not his thing during the season.
Well, until I want some during the
until
season.
Until it gets, like, out of hand. And then until, like, the coach is being a total buffoon. And then he's like, all right, you're being a total buffoon. That's what happened with Sherman at the end. He was just like, it was like a 4-12 year. I mean, you got Bob at, like, unplugged. Because, like, Sherman was still spouting nonsense. And Bob was like, wait, no. You don't get to do that. Not while I'm here. You don't get to sit there and insult me like that. My intelligence level.
I can't wait till that happens. If
I can, we're going to turn it around this weekend. Come on.
Oh, please, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Seriously. We're going to beat the Cowboys. We're going to beat the Cowboys.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Corey Banky, wearing a suit, mind you, just said we were going to beat the Cowboys. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank.
Some people said they don't like the suit, so maybe I shouldn't wear
it. What, are they insane?
Some people are missing the hat, I'm sure, too.
It's business time. You know what's interesting? Not one person has even noticed the fact that I'm not wearing a hat.
They don't care.
The first time ever I don't wear a hat on the show.
They don't care.
No one cares.
Nobody cares.
No one cares. But what's interesting, the cause of so much derision and hate, it disappears and no one cares. I find that interesting. Speaking of the cause of so much derision and hate, Ted Thompson. He's got 8 games.
Ted Thompson.
8 games. His handpicked coach has got to turn this thing around, or he's in some serious trouble.
I guess.
Serious trouble. What if this team finishes like 4-12? Imagine if they lose out.
That's a big what if.
That's a big what if, but what if it happens?
It's not going to happen.
All right. They beat Detroit?
Yeah.
All right.
Duh.
All right. So they're 5-11?
Duh. They're going, okay.
Well, you okay. Everyone said duh before the Tampa game.
Aaron, what did I say?
I don't know.
Okay.
You said a lot of stuff.
I said,
keep track of it.
All you have to do is wait for the Minnesota Vikings. They will implode this year.
Okay, that's fine.
The downward spiral will
begin. But what happens while they're imploding over here? You know, I don't care about the Minnesota Vikings. We played them twice. We got our asses handed to us. It's over. Now we got to keep going. I don't care about them. Yeah, they can implode. That's fine. But it doesn't help us.
They're going to implode.
It doesn't help the Packers win.
And we're going to beat the Lions on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's fine. As long as that happens. I don't care if we're 5-11 as long as we beat the Lions.
And we're going to beat the Cowboys. We're going to beat the Niners.
All right. That's what I like to hear.
We're going to beat these people. JerMichael Finley's going to be back.
Jeez.
Am I not convincing you?
Brady got it. Aaron drops the F-bomb. Corey picks the Pack to beat the boys. I don't know if the suits can help you guys. You got that right.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, no. Oh, that's just not right. Okay, here we go. Well, we're going to wrap this up in a little bit. But I got a couple other things I just want to touch on real quick. Real quick. Going to the Cowboy game, as Greg and others have mentioned, yes, the lines. Offensive lines especially. There's no way the Packers are going to win the matchups against the Cowboys offensive line one-on-one. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Even if Campman plays, which I don't think he will, but if Campman plays, he's just not beating Colombo. He hasn't done it in 2 tries the last 2 years. He's not going to do it all of a sudden, magically, on Sunday.
No.
All right? I give Matthews a bit of a chance against Adams over on the left. I think there's help there. I'm help on the way for the Packers. But overall, Capers has got to do whatever it is. He's got to scheme it happen.
He needs the magic.
He's got to see what. Look at Denver last night. 3 rushers coming in Roethlisberger's face. Now, yes, Denver lost that game. I understand that. But especially for the first half, they had guys, including ex-Packer Kenny Peterson, all over Roethlisberger. Now, he's got to make that happen. He's got to scheme a guy open. He's got to get a safety up the middle. He's got to get maybe a corner off the edge. He's got to do something to free up a guy.
Yep. Because
if they can't get a guy free, you can forget it.
No.
Romo's going to tear him apart.
It's going to be Romo. It's going to be Romo to Witten.
It's going to be Romo, Witten
all day. You're going to get so sick of that crap.
Yeah. Well, I got sick of it on Sunday night. Packers weren't even playing.
That was dumb. I was like, seriously, guys, he's going to throw it to Witten. Yo,
yeah, there he goes.
Can you get a spy on Witten? Do something.
Well, I love that. Like, game on the line, 4th and like whatever it was, 1, and the Eagles are playing like 5 yards off of Witten. And so Witten just runs a 2 yard out for the first
down. Here's what I think.
To seal the game.
Here's what I think. Okay. The Packers finally wake up from their Rip Van Winkle slumber. Okay. And they realize that they're a dinking and dunking West Coast offense team.
All right.
And Jerry Jones mismanaged garbage comes into Lambeau Field and doesn't know what just hit them in the mouth.
You got that, ladies and gentlemen? As told by Corey Behnke here, Cheesehead Nation.
All you got to do, and Leroy Butler said it straight out of Leroy Butler's mouth. Why are you doing a 5 and a 7 step drop if they are sacking your quarterback? 1, 2, 3, boom. 1, 2, 3, boom. 1, 2, 3, boom. Just do that.
I hear you.
Just do that.
Now, here's the other problem. Now, we won't go too long on this because I know we got to go, but Rodgers has had those opportunities. There are plenty of plays I can draw up from previous games and show you where he's got a guy wide open underneath. The Viking game, the series where he takes the ridiculous sack when he's rolling.
Yeah, but
to the
don't
left.
You feel like
he's
I
got
felt like
he's got James Jones and Brandon Jackson.
But I feel
underneath.
Like in that game, I feel like in that game, it was almost like he had a talk where it was like, Aaron, you need to take more risks.
You mean against Tampa?
Like a lot of people against Tampa. A lot of people were saying on the game day live blog that
you.
He just it looked like he wasn't playing typical Aaron Rodgers conservative throwing football.
Right.
You know, obviously because he threw two picks that does
three, but you know, one of them was ridiculous.
Yeah, one of them wasn't his fault. Seriously.
Well, the one that hit Greg Jennings in the hands, yeah, that's not his fault. Good Lord, Greg Jennings. Our two big money players, Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings. Stinking it up in a big game. Not even in a big game. In a little game that means nothing that we should have won. I won't get started because I'll go all night. Ladies and gentlemen, the Packers will win Sunday or the season is over.
Yes.
There you go. How about hedging your bet? You see how I did that? I said the Packers will win Sunday or the season is over. Got that? Take that to the bank.
And I agree with Greg Bedard. He just said, like I've said time and time again, the Packers won't get anything solved until they are honest with their deficiencies. Nobody is.
That's why I'm
right that's
there
true.
With you.
George Bush had that problem.
Absolutely.
George W. Bush and the Packers.
Oh, that's just sad. Well, they share a PR guy.
They share the fact that they can't just admit. Just admit it. Admit the problem and move on.
And that's the thing. It's McCarthy's stubbornness that has just been killing them the last couple games. So we'll see what happens Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. Thank you so much to Leroy Butler, the Augustine boys over at GreenBayPackerNation.com.
Yes.
Quality posters all around, definitely. And Greg Bedard, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, stopping by.
That's what happens at Cheesehead Nation.
That's how we roll. We have ex-Packer legend Hall of Famers and the cream of the crop of the Packer beat writers just hanging out. What we do here. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. For Corey Behnke, Brian Caribou working behind the scenes, thank you so much. Have a great night. See you next week.